How do we get to do great work while sitting near the same spot where you watch Netflix? Or how can you be responsive without losing the focus necessary for getting things done? How can you maintain and grow your network when you spend less time face to face? Well, long before the pandemic and public health concerns pushed many of us indoors, some of the most successful people fueled their careers with carefully perfected work-from-home routines. Laura Vanderkam is here to tell us about her new ebook, The New Corner Office, How the Most Successful People Work From Home. And it's a pleasure to welcome Laura Vanderkam to the roundtable on WAMC. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. How long have you worked from home?
It's been about 18 years now. And there's been a lot of changes over that time. I'm really glad that this mass move to working from home is happening now when the communications technology has gotten so much better.
So what put you in that position initially 18 years ago?
Well, I'd moved to New York with the vague hope of, you know, landing some sort of magazine or newspaper job. And in the meantime, I began freelancing, and there was no real place to do it but my kitchen table. So that's what I did, and eventually figured out that running my own business was probably going to be a better bet than a long-term newspaper career. So I did that and began writing books on productivity and time management and kept working from home the entire time.
So when you think of that and you look at people now who are basically, for want of a better word, are forced into it, right? Because they can't go to the office, so they're working from home. Is that a good way to start off? Is that a good way to kind of figure it out?
Well, I really wish that's not what had happened. I mean, this pandemic has been terrible. As a crisis, it's hard to make good decisions about how to work from home. And it would have been wonderful if this had been part of the long-term trend of remote work. And people had gradually figured out, oh, well, you know, there's no real point in driving an hour just to email and call people in other places.
Right.
Maybe we could start having people work from home 2 days a week, see how it goes. But, you know, there are always opportunities in crises, and a lot of organizations were reluctant to have people work from home during business hours, and they've had to get over it. And as they have gotten over it, they've seen that there are some upsides. There are some challenges, too, of course, but there are also some upsides in letting people work how they work best and some massive productivity gains that can be had.
So let me ask you about some of the issues that I know you've heard a billion times, but it's what you hear about all the time, at least in the conversations that I have. Whenever you start talking about people working from home, especially during this pandemic, and you say, oh, well, can these three people now work from home because we don't have space for them in the office? And they say, okay, but then the question comes down to productivity. Can they be as productive? Can they do as much at home that they can do here? And it has less to do with the individual and a concern that they're going to, you know, just goof off, and more that the job as intended can transform to a place where they can do it within the confines of their house.
Well, I think of that, a good number of knowledge and information-based jobs can, in fact, be done from home. And you can sort of see this with jobs where people were able to, you know, do their job responsibilities while traveling for work. Or, you know, if they were behind for some reason, they could do some stuff at night or on the weekend. I mean, lots of organizations have been fine with people checking work email at night and on the weekend. That is working from home.
Right.
It just doesn't look like what we think of working from home. So, you know, yes, there needs to be good management systems in place. There needs to be ways to hold people accountable for meeting their expectations. But absolutely, people can be as productive at home as in the office. And in fact, there's been some surveys finding that when people feel like they really need to get something done, like they need to buckle down and get something done, very few people would choose their office during work hours as the place to have that happen. Because it turns out that offices are incredibly distracting places, too. There are distractions at home, for sure. But there are also distractions at work when people are stopping by your desk to talk with you about, you know, what happened to the cheese on the cafeteria salad bar. And you're like, I really have to get to this right now. So, you know, there is no perfect place to work. but there are some big upsides to the flexibility and freedom that comes from working at home.
You talk in the ebook about that managing by task is important rather than managing by time. Give us a sense of what you mean by that.
So much of work, even in very progressive workplaces, is defined by time as the important metric, as opposed to anything else. I mean, in most offices, there's a group norm that says what time it's acceptable to leave. And very few people will leave before that, even if they've scored some major victory for the day. So the time is bounded that way. All meetings take 30 or 60 minutes, even though not all decisions can be reached in 30 or 60 minutes. It's just that's how long meetings are. And so we don't think about what's being accomplished in the meeting. It's like, well, how long should the meeting be? You know, that we're going to manage by time. But working from home gives us an opportunity to innovate in a lot of these work practices. And I encourage people to think, instead of, is the day done because it's 5 o'clock? The day should be done because you have made a challenging but sustainable amount of progress toward yours and your organization's goals. And if you choose your daily task lists well, and you assign your employees daily task lists that are challenging but doable, everyone's going to feel this incredible sense of progress. And progress is very motivational. It's far more motivational to say, oh, well, here are these 5 big things I needed to get done today, and I got them all done, than to say, okay, well, the day is done because it is 5 p.m.
You touch on this in the book, and I was fascinated by it because it seems that it's something I know that I work on all the time, and that's just getting that rhythm right of trying to figure out what the rhythm of your day is going to be. And what I have learned, and I don't know whether you will agree or disagree with this, but the rhythm can change from day to day, but that's okay as long as there's a rhythm.
Definitely. Some people like to do the same thing every day, and that's fine. That's a good rhythm. There might also be a different rhythm of, say, Monday is the day where I do very focused, heads-down work, and Tuesday is the day that I have lots of meetings. The caveat here being, of course, that you work with a team, perhaps, and you need to figure out how those people would like to work as well. And so a number of organizations land on the solution of saying, well, these are the core hours that everyone is available, but around that, you can kind of work how you work best. But another good part of getting the rhythm right is also to figure out when you're going to take breaks. And this is incredibly important when you're working from home and don't have sort of more obvious breaks of, getting up and going somewhere or the commute that happens to end a day.
Right.
So, figure out when your energy is going to dip. Figure out what you can do during that time to get some energy back. And if you plan your days with that in mind, you can get a lot more done.
So what about the barriers? Because it's so easy for everything that we do to seep in. As you say, we all, whether we're working from home or not, we're all checking our email on the weekend, at night, in the middle of the night. And so what kind of barriers or what kind of a format do you put in to say, okay, this is when I'm on the clock, this is when I'm off?
Yeah. Well, I encourage you, not necessarily think of being on the clock, but when are you going to be done, and come up with some sort of ending ritual. It doesn't have to be the same time every day. I mean, there's, if you finish early, great. If you've got something that's taking a little bit longer, sometimes that happens. But when you decide that you have put in the effort that you're going to put in for the day, do something to close the day out. It can be making your to-do list for tomorrow. It could be writing in a journal. It could be calling a colleague to say goodbye. But something that lets your brain know, okay, we are out of work mode now. It's okay to do other things guilt-free. Because the problem with working from home is it becomes very easy to half work and half surf the web all night. You're not getting anything done, but you're not relaxed either. And this is really the worst of all possible situations.
Speaking of the worst of all possible situations, I mean, one of the things that a lot of people are dealing with during the pandemic is that they are being forced to work at home. And also, hey, guess what? Schools are not in session, and they are also dealing with their kids, and often in younger children and even in older children, they're helping them deal with technology as well. I'm sure you've heard a lot about this and have worked a lot on this. Is there an easy answer?
No.
Yeah. So, it just sucks,
I mean,
right?
It just sucks. There's no real way around this. I think long term, if people are facing this situation, I can tell you as a person who has worked from home for years and has young children, that you need another adult in charge during the hours that you plan to focus on work. Now, I think a lot of families have come up with solutions where each partner works for, let's say, 25 to 30 hours a week, and the other parent covers during the time that their partner is covering. It means everyone's dialing down a bit, but it means that both parties can continue to work in their jobs. That is one solution. If you are facing this long term, you might see about hiring a sitter who can come for a couple hours to give you some focused time and maybe help manage the children's Zoom calls and other such things. And trying to come up with a long-term solution like that, because I can tell you that it is incredibly frustrating to try and meet the needs of your children and your employer at the same time. You can do it for a while. You can't do it forever.
Yeah. And do you, in the time that we have left, you've been doing this a long time, and as the title suggests, the New Corner Office, how the most successful people work from home. So do you think that this will get us thinking, and by us I mean society and our culture, to get us thinking that, yeah, maybe this is a better, more productive way of going about work?
I'm sorry, we just flipped out for a minute here. Can you repeat the question?
Absolutely. Maybe it'll even be better than the first time I said it. I think so. I think so.
Technical difficulties always a problem with working from home.
No, my question is do you think that now that we are contemplating this because of the pandemic, that this, you've been doing this for 18 years, but is there going to come a time that this allows us to rethink the way we work, that rethink the way that our culture, our society works day to day, in and out, and be able to get the work done that we have to in a way that perhaps is more productive?
I really hope so. If you think about how much time and energy and, you know, the world's resources have been wasted of people getting in their cars and driving to an office to do work that really didn't have to be done in that office. I mean, it's just amazing. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't work face to face. There are definitely things that should be done face to face. But the point of diminishing returns is probably at a different place than people thought it was in the past. And so I am hoping that this, you know, crisis that has made people work from home and has sent whole organizations into a virtual mode overnight will challenge us to rethink how we work and recognize that, you know, not all work needs to happen in an office building, that really what we get done is more important than showing our faces for a certain number of hours and sitting at a desk. And hopefully, you know, now that working from home isn't just about giving people a work-life balance perk on Fridays for, you know, someone who's been in the organization for years, we can all have a better work-life integration once we get past the whole childcare crisis, which is going on right now.
Right, and figure all of that out. The name of the book is The New Corner Office. And one other thing, we only have about a half a minute, but you talk about also, and just something I think is interesting, you know, some of us, this whole introvert-extrovert idea, you know, that some of us don't want to leave the house. You know, we're happy just being in the confines of our home. And I guess that can be both a blessing and a curse, can't it?
It can. And I know that people who are more extroverted may be suffering more with this than those of us who are introverted and really prefer this way of working.
Yeah.
But the good news is that seeing each other on a Zoom call is pretty good. Like, it's not bad as a way to socialize. It's
well,
maybe
no,
not quite as
turn
good.
It
it's
off.
Probably 75% as good. So feel free to call your friends, FaceTime them, you know, Skype, Zoom people. You can definitely do a lot of the interaction. And, you know, then when we can get together in person, we can have some more of that as well.
The New Corner Office is the book. Laura Vanderkam, thank you very much.